We're going to talk about a sugya in this week's parsha, and it's a topic which is famous, I would say, in the world of lamdas a little bit, and we'll reference that a bit, and then we'll show some of the machshava implications for what comes out. The episode of Yehuda and Tamar is a very, very fascinating one, and Tamar, at one point in the story, is essentially provided with a choice. She has the choice of either staying silent. If she stays silent, since he was accused of a capital crime, she's going to be punished. She's going to be killed as a result. She was a woman who was dedicated, a Shomeres Yavam. She's associated with a certain family. It's adultery. She's pregnant now. She's going to be killed. Or she can call out Yehuda and show how really she wasn't guilty, but in doing so, she'll be embarrassing Yehuda. Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia, the Gemara in Maseches Sota, the Gemara in a couple of places. The Gemara says that we learn from Tamar that Noach la'adam she'yapel atvel kivshan ha'esh. It's better for a person to give up their life v'yabim p'nei chaveyu berabim than embarrassing somebody else. What Tamar did taught us a lesson. She was going to stay quiet. Yehuda volunteered the information. She was going to stay quiet because she understood it was better to give her own life than it was to embarrass somebody else. That's what it says in the Gemara. The Rishonim appear to debate whether this line in the Gemara is meant to be a halachic statement and a literal statement, or it is meant to be more of an agadic statement. The opinion of many Rishonim is, at least bepashtus, that many Rishonim is, that this is a halachic statement, and that when we talk about how there are three things that are yaharig v'ayavor, so, shvichas damim, gilui arayos, and avodah zarah, that maybe embarrassing someone is also yaharig v'ayavor, better to die than to embarrass someone. So why isn't it on the list of the quote-unquote big three? How come in the Gemara in Pesachim, or the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara lists the things that yaharig v'ayavor, why isn't embarrassing somebody on that list? So Tosfos says in Sota, well, we only list the things that are mefuish b'kra. Since this is more of an inference, it doesn't get listed on the list of the big three, but it sounds like for Tosfos, really it is yaharig v'ayavor. The Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva, also pretty famously, Rabbeinu Yonah points out, it is yaharig v'ayavor. Why isn't it mentioned? It is mentioned. It is a version of murder. It's a version of Ritzicha. Rabbeinu Bechai and Kara Kemach elaborates on this a bit also. It's a version of Ritzicha. It's a version of murder. And therefore, it's included in murder. A person should better to die than it is to embarrass anybody else. If that's so, that first of all appears to be an enormous chiddush. That's very, very surprising that a person should rather die than embarrass anyone. First of all, as Rav Cook points out, you have to define what it means to embarrass somebody, you know, in a very real way for this particular mahalach. Rav Cook suggests maybe it only makes sense if it's a kind of embarrassment which permanently ruins someone's reputation. La netzach le'enei harabim. Has to be very, very serious form of embarrassment. Rav Kamenetsky pointed out in Lashon HaRambam, the Rambam writes that you're ragil b'hal banas panim. You regularly do this, not just a one-time kind of an act. But for many Rishonim, most famously the Meiri in a couple of places, the Meiri says our Gemara does not mean to convey a halachic fact. Our Gemara is, Alpi, the world, our Gemara is exaggerating a little bit. It's bad to embarrass people. And if you embarrass people, so then, you know, it's ki'ilu would be better to die than it would be to embarrass somebody. But the Gemara does not mean that lemaisa. Rav Asher Weiss, even in Michas Asher, maintains that it has to be pshat in Tovus and Sota and Rabbeinu Yonah. It can't be that anybody really thinks you'd have to give your life rather than embarrass someone. And it doesn't mean literally. He knows he's rereading the Rishonim, but he feels like he has to for a variety of reasons. There's no way that it's mamash yaharig v'ayavor. Okay. If it's not yaharig v'ayavor, so then what's pshat in this line? What exactly is the lesson from Tamar? So Rav Cook, again, a lot of it is the Lashon of Noach lo la'adam appears in a variety of places in Shas. Typically, it's an agadic statement. When the Gemara says in Erevin, Noach lo la'adam would have been better for us if we were not created, than the fact that we were created. It's not a halachic statement. That's just a descriptive statement. It's an agadic statement. So if Cook understands something which is very, very beautiful in this Gemara, if it's not a strict halachic statement, it's more of an agadic statement. Says Rav Cook as follows. Ultimately, what established is in Einayah, in Brachos, where the Gemara is quoted, it's Brachos Vav Mem Zayin. Says a cook like this. Ultimately, what gives a person who recognizes the true value and kavod of Adam, so that's part of what gives life its purpose. part of what gives life its purpose is the fact that I can appreciate the value of other people. I can appreciate the value of what it means to be alive. Ki akara hamiti shalchai kavod enoshi. So that's the greatest thing in the world. And if I embarrass someone, so then I've undone the value of what it means to really be alive. I've taken away their kavod. Says Rav Kook as follows. What the Gemara means to say is as follows. A person who has a real accurate understanding of what it means to be a person, of kavod of Adam, would definitely rather give up their physical existence to protect the real kavod, the real status of man. That man is such an elevated and holy being that noach lo la'adam, it should almost be easier for you. It should almost be more natural to you. That your reaction should be, I'd rather give up my physical body than challenge what makes man so special and what makes man unique. In that sense, when a person embarrasses someone, it's not that I've caused you pain, which is the only problem. It's that I have taken away what it means to truly be a person that's alive. I've undercut real hakara, real koach ha'adam. In that sense, says Rav Kook, that's what's going on here in the Gemara. Better to die to give up, says Rav Kook, better to give up my avedas gufo, me avedas kvod chayev shel chavero. That's something which is the worst thing to do, because that's all about the madrega of people, etc. The problem's like this. If I hold that Tamar was really chayev to give her life, I hold like Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah, I know why she was willing to give her life. But if I hold it's all an agadic statement, if I hold like the Meiri, if I hold like Rav Kook, and really Me'ikir Hadin, you don't have to give up your life, so how is Tamar willing to give up her life? How is Tamar willing to give up her life? Why was she able to do so? How is that mutter? So some speak about it in Maril Diskin from a Lumdisha perspective. The pshat is that even those mitzvos, averas, but you're not Yahavah Yavor, you could choose to give your life for it if you want, that it's okay to do so. Rashi Weiss has a particular chiddush which is very intriguing. He suggests that there is this phenomenon sometimes of where you have tzaddikim and chasidim, hahochim tamid b'tzelod mehamenusa, that Tamar, regular people, couldn't give their life for this. But Tamar was a tzaddikas. Tamar lived with a recognition of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore she was able to be somech on the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he was going to take care of her. That said, she did some hishtadlus. She sent something to Yehuda to remind him. And for her, on her madrega, on a level of her bitachon, it was all going to be okay, that was sufficient for Tamar. Meaning, Tamar's not a raya for everyone. Tamar was an exception because of her tzidkus. She was able to say, I know the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to be there for me. I know I can daven. He's going to be lahatzila min ha'nisayon min ha'michshol. Kadosh Baruch Hu mekabel tefila. So Kadosh Baruch Hu mekabel their tefila. And it's all good. We'll go one step further. If what Tamar did was an act of, was a chiyuv. So if it's a chiyuv, we don't necessarily expect the results to be incredible. A person fulfills chiyuvim, they fulfill chiyuvim. If you understand like the Meiri, if you understand like Rav Kook, that what was motivating Tamar was that she was going above and beyond what was really required. She was going above and beyond what was really required. So now we find something fascinating, which is because she went above and beyond, she was Mekadei Shem Shemayim in a holy way, in a very unique way, this is going to have reverberations in future generations. Reverberations in future generations. There is a Tosefta in Brachos. We say in Tehillim in Parak Kuf Yudalit, B'tzeis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, B'nei Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim, Haisa Yehuda Lekacho. Haisa Yehuda Lekacho. Yehuda was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. What does that mean? So the Tosefta says that when we left Mitzrayim, there was someone from Shevet Yehuda, Nachshon Ben Aminadav, who went in, the Medrash tells us, he went into Yamsuf all the way up. He was willing to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And Bizchus Nachshon Ben Aminadav, Haisa Yehuda Lekacho, because he, Nachshon, gave of himself to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim there, Yisrael Mam Shalosav. That's why Yehuda was Zocha to be a leader. That because Nachshon went in, that's why Yehuda was willing to be a leader. Asks the Alshech as well as the Nesiva. The Alshech in his parish in Tehillim, the Nesivas in his commentary on the Haggadah. Why is it Haisa Yehuda Lekacho? In referring to Nachshon Ben Aminadav, why is it said in Lashon Nekeva? Haisa Yehuda Lekacho. It should have said, Haya Yehuda Lekacho. Says the Alshech, and says the Nesivos in his commentary in Agada, it's all bischus, a female, bischus, Tamar. The Nachshon comes from the world of Tamar. Haisa Yehuda Lekacho. That's Shevet Yehuda. So it was all bischus Tamar going in this week's parsha above and beyond. Not only what she was chayav in, but she was willing to give her life to go above and beyond. She was willing to say, I'm on this madrega, I'll do a little bit of a shtadlus. I'll have bitachon and ribono sholam. It's all going to be okay. Motivated by an understanding of kavod of Adam, bischus Tamar. That's the what gave the koach for her descendants to also be mekadesh shem shamayim, to also be mekadesh shem shamayim, to also go in and risk her life at Yamsuf. And because that, Yisrael Mam Shalosov, Klal Yisrael Yehuda, became the leader. If I want to be Mosif, just one more step, it's not coincidental that this Midah of Tamar leads to leadership. Because according to Rav Kook, what does the Midah come from? A recognition of the value of every single person. She'd rather give her life than embarrass somebody. Who do you want to be a leader more than any other? A person that is understanding of the value of every single person. Person that understands all of those around them to lift them up. So it's B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim B'tzeis Yaakov Me'am Lois Ha'isa Yehuda L'Kacho Yisrael Mam Shalosa B'tzchus Tamar and what she did, her descendants knew how to be Mekadei Shem Shamayim. Her descendants knew the value of another person. Her descendants were able to be the manhigim. So we saw, better to go into a burning furnace than to embarrass someone. Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yonah, that may even be Harv Yavr, it's a lachik statement for the Meiri, it's not, Rav Asher Weiss, no, it can't be pshat in Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah. What's the pshat? So how exactly can this, how can she do it? She's on a certain kind of a madrega, above and beyond. She can be Moser Nefesh, she can have Bitachon and Hashem going above and beyond. Bischus that, her descendants are Zocha, because that her descendants are Zocha to be the Manhigma of Klal Yisrael. Have a great rest of your day.